Welcome to Sightseeing Japan, the podcast where we explore the land of the rising sun. I'm Paul Bresson.
And I'm Jason Neeling, and welcome to an inter-season bonus episode. Inter-season, like between seasons. We're in between seasons 4 and 5 right now, but we missed you guys so much, we just couldn't wait all the way until season 5 for a new episode, so here we are.
Feels good to be back on the mic.
It does. It's really been a while.
You know, we were both just talking about our rough weeks at work, and it just feels good to be hanging out with you talking, man.
Yeah, man. It's funny. I'm almost like surprised to find how much my mood dips when we're not doing the podcast. Is that weird? Like it's work, but it's fun. It's nice. It's a good groove to be in, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so today we got some exciting announcements. We got some current event stuff that we're going to cover, things that have been happening in Japan recently. We're going to have a good time.
I don't know if we've ever had this many announcements in one episode before.
We got a lot to talk about, but it's not just boring stuff, I promise.
No one was thinking that until you brought it up, bro.
I don't know. When I see a podcast with an announcements episode, usually I'm like, I don't know. Is this going to be relevant to my life? We'll see. But I think we got some good stuff. Are we ready to start with the first one, Paul?
Let's do it.
All right. First announcement is about season 5. When is it going to start? When is it coming? How much longer do we have to wait? You want to answer that question, Paul?
I would love to. The first episode of season 5 is going to be coming out July 22nd.
But that's so far away.
Yeah. But we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah,
we got to prep.
We got to do a bunch of research. We haven't even decided. I mean, as of this moment when we're recording this, we haven't decided what topics we're even going to do.
We just decided that date 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. You guys are the first ones to know. But yeah, I'm super excited to get started, and I have some topics I'm really going to fight for. I'll warn you now, Paul.
All right, well, I got a couple too, bro.
There are some that Paul has vetoed in the past for whatever reason, but I have ones that like have been requested by several people, and I know that they're going to be great episodes, so I'm not taking no for an answer.
All right, I will throw out the veto hammer. I'm promising right now. Although that doesn't mean you get to pick every single episode.
But what does it mean?
It means if you've got like 3 or 4 that you really want to do, they're all in.
All right, cool.
Because every time I try to tell you no and we end up doing it, you're right.
It's a fantastic episode, right?
I've learned.
Without exception.
No more no's.
All right, great. Glad to hear that. Ready for the next announcement?
Yeah.
Okay, next one, we should talk about Patreon. A lot's been going on the Patreon. For one thing, and this is super exciting, we've been talking for so long, probably like the last year or so, about our goal, right? Our big 50 active patrons goal.
Yeah.
We're only 7 away. We only need 7 more people.
That's awesome.
Isn't it? And what is it we're going to do again at 50 patrons, Paul?
We're going to release a Patreon-only episode.
Do we need to mark...
That sounds bad. About the history and culture of... It's not going to be...
I almost want to just say Japanese erotic art.
Yeah, that might be the way to go.
Do we need to mark it explicit if we say in an episode?
Not if it's on Patreon, right?
No, I mean, just saying the word is that this episode?
I think it's okay because it's not English enough yet. Maybe another 5 okay. years.
Well, I remember seeing an outtake from The Office, you know, where Stanley mentions
Yeah.
But I don't know if they cut it from the show because it was inappropriate for TV.
Oh, maybe you'll have to bleep us there.
Because we don't want to make an announcement episode explicit, right?
Yeah.
Should I beep it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're allowed to say Japanese erotic art, right?
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's purely academic.
Yes.
All right, so
this episode is going to be.
I'll bleep out the H word and then leave that in so you have an idea of what's happening. Anyway, okay. So yeah, 7 more patrons to get to our goal of 50, and then we're going to do that episode on Japanese erotic art and the history and all of that kind of stuff.
Patreon's also where you can go right now to get content between the seasons.
That's true. We've been making sure that our patrons get new content every couple weeks, even between seasons. You know, we don't want them to just be sitting around being like, what's going on here? Why is nothing happening? You know, we want to give value for subscribers, so... Lately, we've been posting things like folktale episodes. We've been making little cooking videos that we call Cooking with PB&J. we make, you know, different Japanese foods and stuff. There's a bunch of exclusive content on the Patreon. So take a look if you're thinking about joining. A lot of the exclusive content has little short previews too, so you can see what you're getting before you subscribe. And if you do want to join, it takes as little as $2 a month. We got three tiers, but the lowest one is $2 a month.
Yep.
You know, that's all it takes to get us one step closer to that goal. And in addition to the exclusive content, you get to vote on a topic for next season. There's a poll up there right now that you can vote on as soon as you join. And you get early access to new episodes once that new season starts. You get to see what topics are coming up. If you do want to join at the highest level, the $10 a month level, you get a shout out on the podcast, which sounds a bit like this. A huge thank you to our current Shogun level patrons. We have more than ever, Paul. Listen to this. Wesley C., Nicholas McKibben, Kevin Harris, Brady K., Jack, Michael Morris, David Imani, Jennifer Crutchfield, Darwin Perrier, Ethan Teague, Yasmin, Sonny Schultz, Jason, Katarina and Ellery, Susan, and Victoria.
That is quite the list of wonderful people.
Yeah, they are pretty wonderful.
Thank you.
I also want to thank all of our other patrons and give a special shout out to those who joined the Patreon between seasons. We hope you're enjoying the content that's been coming out. Anything else about Patreon, Paul? I think we covered all of it.
If you're as excited as we are for the next season, get on there. That $2 a month will get you early access to our episodes as they start coming out.
Yep. You get that first episode a week earlier than everybody else.
Yep. Join the club.
All right. Announcement number three, Paul. This is something we've been working very hard on. This has been taking up a lot of our time in between seasons here. We are going to start offering itineraries. So I know like a lot of our listeners are planning their first trip to Japan. I think a lot of people find the podcast when they're planning their first trip to Japan. And we want to help make it super easy to have an amazing time if you're planning to visit Japan. So, you know, over the last 130 episodes, we've covered a lot of travel tips. We've talked about a lot of places you could go to try to give you ideas so that you can plan your own trip. But wouldn't it be awesome if you just had a single document that you could put on your phone or whatever that had all of the relevant information you could need for a specific city? Well, that's exactly what we're trying to put together here.
We're using our experience and expertise with all this research we've done over the years.
And all the trips we've taken to Japan.
Yep. To write some itineraries up to make sure that you don't miss any of the essential things that you should be seeing.
Yep. So each itinerary spans a certain number of days. We spent a lot of time planning out these days. Like we've been on the phone, like looking at the maps, like, okay, what makes sense? Do we go here first? Does it make sense? Like, what's the most efficient way to get around, you know, minimizing travel time? What order makes most sense for these attractions? And then for each attraction, we provide a bit of history, details about what to see and do there. We list the hours that they're open, how much it costs. We put a link to Google Maps so that, like, if you have the itinerary on your phone, you just click on the link and then it brings you to Google Maps and you click directions and boom, it tells you exactly how to get there.
Even sometimes a link to their website where you can buy tickets in advance.
Yep. And then links to any relevant podcast episodes. Like, we've done several episodes on specific attractions where we basically give you a full walkthrough, you know, so you could pull that up. Just click the link in the itinerary, and then all of a sudden you're listening to us guiding you through this attraction. And then each itinerary also will include a page of travel tips, general info about like navigation, hotels, packing, and stuff. You will still need to book everything yourself. Like, we're not turning into a full travel agency that's going to book your whole trip for you. But the idea is we want to save you hours and hours of research by just bringing a whole lot of information together in one place that's just really easy for you to use. Also, we have sections about like local specialties, you know, what foods you want to make sure to try in a specific city. So I'm super excited to see how this goes. I think it's going to be super useful for people. And, you know, most people on their very first trip to Japan, they want to visit Tokyo, Osaka, and Kyoto, right? So those are the three cities we're starting with these itineraries. We have individual ones for Tokyo, Osaka, and Kyoto. And of course, we talk a lot on the podcast about how it's important to tailor your trip to your personal interests. You know, But the idea with these first ones is, as Paul mentioned, they're essentials. You know, these are the things, if you're in Tokyo, here are the things you don't want to miss. Here are the things where if you go home without visiting these, you might look back and be like, oh man, I should have done that. So basically, this is a test. These first three, we want to put them out there, gauge the interest, see how people like them, maybe get some feedback on how to improve them. If you have any ideas of like what other information would be useful to you, you know, we'd love to get feedback on them.
Yeah.
And if people like these first itineraries, we would love to expand into other cities or maybe even start making itineraries for specific interests. Like we could do an itinerary that's, you know, here's a trip for Tokyo, but it's for anime lovers. Here are all the great places to go to get anime stuff. Or Kanazawa for history buffs, you know. Or if you're into hiking, you want to go to just go get lost in the mountains or visit a lot of rural places, we can put together itineraries for those. So
I think those themed itineraries are one of your many great ideas, Jason.
Thank you.
I was impressed when you dropped that idea.
Thanks. I'm excited. I mean, this could turn into like, we could cover the whole country, you know? We could do an itinerary for every episode we've done on a specific city.
Well, we've done all the regions. We've done a bunch of cities. Yeah. We've covered a lot.
Totally. So the plan is we're going to start selling these itineraries when the new season starts. We still have some finishing touches to work out, but these are going to be on sale through Patreon. However, you won't need to be a patron in order to buy them. Patreon is just going to be the platform for the store, but anybody can just go in there and buy them.
Yep.
So we'll give more details in that first episode of the season once we get the details ironed out, but I'm excited.
Me too.
Okay. Announcement number, what could possibly
be more exciting than that? Yeah, right?
This might be our most exciting. Well, it's for me, probably the most exciting announcement.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to Japan again.
Can you believe it?
Not shocking anybody there.
It's happening. We are planning. Well, we're not planning. We definitely are going in late October to early November this year, 2024. So it's going to, I'm super excited.
And you know what we're going to have to do while we're there?
We got to do a podcast meetup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Considering the massive success that last year's meetup was.
It was great.
It was. So take note, if you're going to be in Japan at that time, this fall, 2024, we'd love to meet you. We're planning a get together in Shibuya for anyone who happens to be around. You don't even need to RSVP or anything. You can just show up. And last year, the meetup was in a relatively small bar in Akihabara. But it was, I mean, it was a great place. It kind of turned out to be the perfect location, I think, for
the meetup. It was just big enough.
Yeah, yeah. But this year, we're thinking maybe we've outgrown that place. So we need to look for a place that has a little more room for people to mill about and mingle. So the time and location for the podcast meetup this year is going to be November 6th. 7 p.m. at a place called Commune, which is on the rooftop of the Shibuya Parco shopping mall. I think it's going to be a great location because, I mean, it's a rooftop. There's plenty of room. Like, we don't need to all stuff ourselves into this bar. We can spread out and kind of go outside, and there are great views of the city from up there, too.
Yeah.
And there are like two bars in one. There's a little taco bar with Mexican-inspired drinks, and then there's another drink bar right next to it with more other kinds of drinks, I guess. So yeah, you can show up hungry if you want to eat, maybe grab some tacos. Otherwise, you can eat beforehand, however you want to do it.
That is a Wednesday night.
Oh yeah, should have mentioned Wednesday. Wednesday, November 6th, 7 p.m.
And a couple of the reviews said this place could be a little hard to find. Just keep going up, 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 all the way to the rooftop.
Yeah, what I read is you need to take the elevator to the 9th floor and then take the escalator to the roof. And we'll mention this again in future episodes. And I'm going to put the Google Maps link and the details in the show notes so you can refer to that if you have any trouble.
So kind of you, Jason.
I do what I can. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. So everybody listening, plan your trip to Japan for this fall. Come hang out with us. Come hang out with other listeners. We're going to, you know, hang out and talk about Japan, and it'll be great. And if people are interested, this place closes at 10 p.m., so if people want to go do karaoke afterwards, maybe, I'm totally down.
Oh, if you twist my arm, Jason, I guess.
That means we need to get a hotel in Shibuya so we can just walk there at 2 a.m. instead of, you know, worrying about taking the train back.
Exactly.
I have a place in mind. I've stayed in Shibuya before.
Okay.
All right. Is that all our announcements, Paul?
Yeah.
Great. We've announced our announcements. Let's talk about some current events, because we've been getting some questions, actually, from listeners about certain things that have been happening that have been a little concerning, you could say.
Yeah.
So first up, you might have heard about this so-called tourist ban in the Gion neighborhood of Kyoto. That's what like all the headlines say when you see media outlets talking about this. It's always, oh, they're banning tourists.
Right.
Well,
it is not nearly as serious as the headlines might make you believe.
Yeah. Should we give a little background on what Gion is, first of all?
Sure. Gion is a district in Kyoto. It's known to be a place where geisha are, or what do they call them in Kyoto?
Mako?
Geiko.
Yep.
Okay. So a lot of people go there for the old-timey feel, the restaurants, try to see a geisha.
Yeah. Gion is in Higashiyama, which is like on the east side of Kyoto. It's by all those, you know, there are a bunch of temples around that area and like really kind of traditional, really pretty little streets, neighborhoods, you know, old wooden buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
So like there's a lot of history there, and it's also a super popular tourist spot. And as Japan has become more and more popular in recent years with international tourists, I mean, all of Kyoto, well, all of Japan has gotten more and more crowded, really, with tourists. But Kyoto specifically is really having trouble with that in certain parts of the city. And unfortunately, some tourists have not been super respectful of the geiko, the geisha, specifically in this neighborhood. So, like, the geisha will get harassed for pictures. People stop them on the street. I kept seeing, like, people mentioning that a geisha got like a cigarette butt stuck in her collar or her sleeve or something like that.
I saw no confirmed reports of that.
Okay.
The thing I heard most often was people taking pictures of them without permission or stopping them and trying to disrupt their lives by asking questions or taking pictures.
Yeah. And that's not what they're there for. You know, they're just trying to do their job and live their lives. And on top of that, a lot of these little narrow alleys in Gion are actually private property. Like they're not public streets. They're owned by local residents or local companies. And in the past, like they've always just tolerated tourists walking around because, you know, tourism is a big thing in Kyoto. And how are the tourists supposed to know what's private and what's not, right? So they kind of just let people do what they were doing. But now that there are so many visitors coming in and kind of treating the whole area like a theme park, it's just become a problem that they need to address.
So what it exactly is, it's only these private alleyways, and it's not even that many of them over that big of a place.
And they were already private. Like,
yeah.
Not that much is really changing. It's more that they're just like enforcing trespassing laws. You know?
So you can absolutely go to Gion and walk around and do the touristy stuff. It's not a problem. These alleyways are marked with signs in both English and Japanese, so you're not going to be confused about where you can go and where you can't go.
Yep.
It does post that there's a possible fine of 10,000 yen.
So I saw that even before like this latest big thing, they had tried like things like putting up signs and telling people there was a fine of 10,000 yen for taking pictures without consent. But it just wasn't enough. So it's like they've been trying things. This is just their last ditch effort to be like, we have to make changes here, you know?
I've also heard that a couple of these alleys have restaurants in them. But if you have a reservation at the restaurant, you have business there, it's not a problem. You can go to that restaurant. Just don't stop and take pictures of random people on the street.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a little bit about overcrowding, because it's been a big thing on English-speaking content about Japan on social media. I've been seeing it everywhere.
Sure.
One thing I found really interesting looking into this is that it wasn't just tourists on their own. Tour guides were leading people down these alleys and loudly discussing about the history of the area, and everyone was taking pictures. So that was part of the problem too, like tour groups actually going through these places.
I saw mentions like that too of just irresponsible guides.
And I've seen other complaints about over-tourism. There's famously the Lawson that has the view of Mount Fuji behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Put up a big screen behind it recently so you can't see the mountain anymore, so you can't stop there and take the picture.
Yeah. I don't know. That struck me as kind of funny. Not funny. It's sad that they had to do that, but like, oh, we got this beautiful view here and people love to come here and take pictures of this view and it's just becoming so much of a problem, we'll just destroy the view.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It is a really interesting thing. I saw some people making fun of it as like, why would you want to ruin a view of Mount Fuji with a convenience store in front of it? But I get the photo. Like, the Kobe's are so Japan that in front of Mount Fuji, it's kind of, I kind of get that picture, I think.
Yeah.
But it's not there anymore.
I get it. Especially like the glow of the convenience store at night after dark. There's something just comforting about that warm glow. You know what I mean?
Yep. But there's a million places you can go to get a picture of Mount Fuji.
Yeah.
There's also been complaints of overflowing trashes in Kyoto, but a lot of that had to do with domestic tourism. They just don't have enough trash cans.
Where are people even finding trash cans at all? I saw a funny thing on Instagram recently where it was like, we found the rarest thing ever in Japan. And they just had this little video of like, oh, look, they're actual like just random trash cans on the street. You never see that.
Well, I read an article saying that there are 300 public trash cans in Kyoto, which is a city of over a million people. That seems like quite a low amount.
I wonder how many locals are even using those though, because like, I should have researched this, I guess. I didn't know we were going here, but I wonder if Kyoto has more trash cans than the average city in Japan just because there are so many international tourists that aren't used to carrying their trash with them everywhere.
Oh, interesting thought. I did see that Kyoto used to have 1,000, and they went down to 300
recently. That sounds familiar. I think I heard that.
Kyoto, their budget is messed up. Their government budget, they've been way in debt for a long time. I don't remember all the details, but they're trying to cut costs.
Yeah.
Last thing on overcrowding is Jason. I think we've worked hard for the years over this podcast, exploring all parts of Japan.
Absolutely.
Zero shame or blame on anyone that wants to spend time in the Golden Triangle. But there are so many great places to go in Japan where you can get away from the crowding.
Totally. There have been, you know, times hearing about all the overcrowding and stuff is like, are we part of the problem encouraging people to go to Japan? But I hope that, you know, we're encouraging people to explore, the lesser known parts of Japan. I hope that that we can help inspire people to get outside of those big cities. Because, I mean, a lot of the stuff in there is like, I mean, it's touristy, you know, you're going to be surrounded by tourists at these places. And I think it's super nice to get out into these little towns where you don't really know what to expect. You know, there aren't pictures all over the internet of these places. Like, it's really refreshing to just explore a new place.
Experience that everyday Japanese culture.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're part of the problem, but we're also part of the solution. We've done a bit of both.
Agreed.
We've got some itineraries coming out exclusively for the Golden Triangle at first.
Yeah. But we're also telling people like, hey, you know, here's how to be a responsible tourist, right? We talk about that kind of stuff a lot too.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
It's like, here's how not to act.
Yeah, we've done all the regions, we've covered every area of Japan, and we will continue to do so.
Yep.
All right, so we got one more current event.
Okay.
As a huge baseball fan and a Japan nerd, I have to talk about the Shohei Ohtani scandal.
And I'm going to try to sneak in a few words here because I did do some research, but
okay.
I'm sure Paul knows way more than me.
Okay.
So let me just start out by introducing Shohei Ohtani.
Okay.
Because I know him personally and I got all the details. Just kidding. But what I do know about him is that he's a hugely famous baseball player, and he's from Japan, of course, and he plays in American Major League Baseball for the LA Dodgers.
Yes.
How am I doing so far?
Doing great.
All right. Are we starting with his marriage? Is that the first big news thing?
Let's start with his contract.
All right, sure. Wait, contract?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I didn't research this as well as I thought. What about his contract?
So this offseason, Shohei signed a $700 million contract with the Dodgers, which is by far the largest in American baseball history.
Sorry, that number, I think it just like registered in my brain. Can you say the number again?
$700 million.
So what exactly does that mean when we talk about like massive contracts like that? Like, does he have to play for a certain amount of time to get that money? How does that work?
It's a 10-year contract.
Okay.
But it's fully guaranteed. He could get hurt tomorrow, never play again, and he gets paid all that money.
Wow. $70 million per year, basically.
Yeah. Basically. It's set up with all these weird deferments. He's going to get paid for the next 30 years or something, but basically $70 million per year that he plays for the next 10 years.
That's obscene.
Yes. And it's about, not quite, but in the realm of twice as much as the next highest player.
In the entire MLB?
Yes.
Wow.
He's the best player on the planet.
How does he stack up against Ichiro?
Ichiro is an easy Hall of Famer. First ballot, almost everybody voted for him, which is amazing. But Ohtani is in the conversation of the best player ever, which Ichiro is not.
In the world?
Yes, ever in the history of the world.
Wow.
He's the only two-way player that's ever been successful in the last 100 years or so.
What does two-way mean?
That means he's a pitcher and a hitter. Hmm. And he's top 10 in the league at both of those every single year. Huh. Which is just unbelievable. No one else can do it.
I guess I didn't realize just how big he was.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty amazing.
He's said to be the most famous person in Japan right now. Hmm. So he signs the huge contract, and then he gets married.
Yeah, on February 29th, he announced that he was married. And that was weird because it was so sudden, right? Is it that he just keeps his personal life super private and out of the media? Is that why nobody had any inkling that this was about to happen?
Exactly.
Okay. But also, even when he announced that he was married, he didn't say who he married, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that was a calculated media ploy kind of thing?
I don't think it was to like get more attention, but it's like his MO. Like, I'm going to trickle out just the tiniest bit of info at a time. Like, a month later, he posted a picture of him with her, and people had already guessed that this is who he married. People got it right. People got it right.
How?
I don't even remember.
All those internet sleuths,
yeah,
like, looking for a little tiny
clues and stuff.
They,
like, there were a couple prime candidates, and one of them was correct.
Huh.
She was a professional basketball player in Japan.
Yeah. Her name is Mamiko Tanaka, and she's a basketball player in the Women's Japan Basketball League. And it seemed like a big part of this story was how sad all the women on the internet were.
Yeah. I can't remember. They came up with a term for it, like Ohtani broken heart syndrome or something.
Cool. Is that it about the marriage?
It's all I got about
it. Okay. So we have one more thing to say about Showtime, right? That's his nickname, I learned.
Yes.
Showtime is what people call him. Is this third one the biggest news item, do you think? Is this the most shocking? What's the most shocking?
The scandal.
That's this one.
Yeah.
Okay, this scandal we haven't gotten to yet.
This was absolutely the most shocking. So I'll break it down here.
Okay.
On March 20th of this year, Shohei and the Dodgers played the first game of the MLB season against the San Diego Padres in Seoul, South Korea. And Shohei's longtime interpreter is named Ipe.
Can I just have one sentence of background here?
Sure.
So Shohei Ohtani, he does speak some English, but apparently he's a lot more comfortable speaking in Japanese. That's why he has this interpreter. And he's been working with this same interpreter since he was 18 years old.
Correct.
So they've been together for a long time. How old is Shohei?
About 28, 29.
Okay, so like 10 years they've been going around the world together, doing whatever.
Yeah, Ipe worked with Shohei on Shohei's Japanese team when he first got drafted into the Japanese league. That's where they met.
Wait, what? Why did he have an interpreter?
He didn't have an interpreter. Ipe just worked with that team.
Oh.
So that's where they met.
Got it, okay.
And then when Shohei 6 years ago came over to the MLB, he brought Ipe with him as his interpreter.
I see. Ipe Mizuhara, by the way, is his full name.
Yes. So during this first game of the season, Ipe's in the dugout like he always is. He's seen hanging out with Shohei. He's talking to other people on the Dodgers. And then after that game, the Dodgers owner comes down and addresses the team in the dugout and says, "Hey, guys, there's a damaging story coming out." So then
this was before ESPN broke the story?
This is like an hour before ESPN broke the story.
Okay.
So Ipe gets in front of the team and confesses that he has a gambling addiction and apologizes. And then the team president comes in and says that Shohei helped Ipe cover his gambling debts, like help pay for him when he got into debt. And then an hour or two after the game, an ESPN story drops saying that Ohtani knowingly helped him pay for these debts, but that then Ipe took more money than Shohei originally gave him and that the bets were illegal.
Okay, so let me just try to wrap my head around this. You said that the team owner says there's a damaging news story coming out.
Yes.
And then Ipe says, hey guys, I have a gambling problem. And then who is it, the president?
Yeah.
That says Shohei gave his interpreter money to pay off these gambling debts.
Yes.
Okay. And on this same day that this is happening, ESPN breaks a story that they discovered $4.5 million in wire payments from Shohei Ohtani's bank account to an illegal bookmaker, like somebody that takes bets on sporting events.
Yes.
Okay.
And then after that story drops, almost immediately, Ohtani's lawyers then start denying that Ohtani knew anything about the money transfers and saying that it was all theft. So it seems like the Ohtani camp story is changing.
Because originally, the interpreter and the president were both saying, oh, Ohtani intentionally gave the interpreter money to cover his gambling debts, right?
Exactly.
But then the lawyer comes out and says, never mind, forget about that. Actually, Ohtani knew nothing about any of this. Yeah?
Correct.
Okay. So it's either like they're trying to protect the interpreter or they're trying to protect Ohtani, which seems more likely, frankly.
Yeah, that's what it seemed at the time. But it came out that for whatever reason, during the investigation, every time they interviewed Shohei, they used Ipe as the interpreter, and Ipe did not interpret what they were saying to Ohtani, so Ohtani never actually got questioned about this stuff. Wow. And Ohtani didn't even know that the money was missing until the ESPN article came out that night. So everybody knew that Ohtani had been robbed except Ohtani.
So wait, he's sitting there getting questions from the media, and you're saying the interpreter wasn't relaying those questions to him?
No, he's getting questions from the team and from federal investigators through his interpreter, who is the prime suspect.
So what is the interpreter saying to Shohei through this?
That hasn't been released. Okay. But whatever it says he did not translate what they were actually saying him, and he did not admit. Maybe they didn't know the money was stolen yet, because it came straight from Ohtani's bank account to this the gambler's bank account. So they didn't realize that the money was stolen by his interpreter. So they went through the interpreter for the investigation He lied about everything.
But the interpreter had already told the team that he was like in gambling debts or whatever.
Only once ESPN had figured it out and the story was imminently dropping.
Okay. I'm trying to follow. What's next here?
Ohtani eventually releases a statement himself.
And what does he say?
And he denies knowing anything about it.
Just like what the lawyer said.
Exactly.
Surprise, surprise. Was that his personal lawyer or the team's lawyer? It was his personal lawyer, right?
His personal lawyer.
Okay.
Yeah. So Ipe has been charged with stealing it now more than $16 million from Ohtani. And he's agreed to plead guilty to bank fraud and tax fraud. And he claims that he didn't know the gambling was illegal, which is funny because it's like, even if you didn't, like you still stole millions of dollars from your friend.
Yeah.
Like not knowing the gambling was illegal makes this any better for you at all.
Right. And of course he was fired from, you know, as an interpreter.
Yeah. So this is super confusing. This chain of events makes no sense and it's really hard to follow, as we found out trying to go through that.
Yeah,
and this has led to an insane amount of conspiracy theories.
Conspiracy theories?
Yes. Many fans think that Ipe is the fall man. Shohei's a gambler. Shohei bet on baseball. Shohei should be banned for life. And that he got caught and Ipe's the fall guy so that they don't have to kick the most popular player in the world out of the league. I don't buy that. I think there's no evidence that actually backs that up. It's just speculation.
So what do you think happened?
I think that Ohtani just lived a really closed, sheltered life, and he had very few people he trusted. A lot of articles have come out saying it's not at all uncommon. Your interpreter's the one that goes with you to the bank in America and helps you open an account. Your interpreter might have access to that account to pay bills for you. So it's not crazy that Ipe could have done this without Shohei knowing. It seems weird that Shohei didn't have an accountant or somebody else looking at this from time to time. But all indications are that Shohei kind of has only thought about baseball his entire life and doesn't really know anything about how the rest of the world works.
I guess that makes sense.
Which is plausible if you know anything about high school Japanese baseball.
Sure, sure. So you don't think it's possible that Shohei like was trying to help out his buddy and gave him the money?
I do think it's possible that he gave him some money. $16 million, I highly doubt. But maybe a few hundred thousand or something at first, thinking it solves the problem for good.
And that kind of opened the floodgates maybe.
And then Ipe didn't
like, well,
ask
let me just
him
take
next
more.
Time. Sure. He just kept going.
Yeah.
We'll never really know. Ipe now says he did it without Shohei knowing. So.
Okay.
But that just fuels the conspiracy too. Oh, now he's denying it because they're paying him off or something.
So right now, at this current moment, where are we in this story?
MLB has cleared Shohei of any wrongdoing. He is in the clear. He's playing like normal. It's behind him. But Ipe is still in the legal process.
Okay.
He's facing years in prison.
What's the, besides these conspiracy theories, I assume that's a relatively small, group of people that are interested in these conspiracy theories. So what's just the general perception of baseball fans of this whole thing? What do people think about Ohtani now?
That's a great question. I would say that he's still the most popular player, but he's starting to suffer from success. The more successful you get, the more money you make signing that big contract, the haters are coming out of the woodwork. There's way more haters for Shohei this year than there ever has been before.
Hmm.
So mostly still positive, but there's a growing number of people trying to take him down a peg.
Interesting.
It's a crazy story.
It really is.
There's never been anything like it before.
Yeah.
And gambling is a big no-no. If he had bad on baseball, he would be banned for life.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah, that would be a huge...
It'd be the biggest story in baseball
tragic
in 50
for, yeah,
years or
who's
something.
Who's supposed to be the best baseball player ever.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
Yep.
Huh. I guess nobody's perfect, huh? It's hard to idolize somebody and just assume that everything is perfect in their life, except for Fred Rogers. He was the only perfect person to ever exist in the history of humanity, right?
Yeah. Before this year, Shohei was probably the most squeaky clean superstar in baseball. And even though MLB officially cleared him of wrongdoing, this will, in some ways, hang over his head a little bit forever.
Yeah.
There'll always be the, but did he, kind of doubt.
Sure, sure. He's got kind of a baby face too, doesn't he? He's a pretty innocent-looking dude.
Yep. He looks the part. Maybe he's just a degen gambler in secret.
I guess it's possible.
It's possible.
That's his whole life revolves around baseball and gambling.
I highly doubt it, but it's possible.
That was a joke. I'm not trying to tarnish Showtime's reputation or anything. I'm not making any statements,
Yeah.
I saw one more little detail that you didn't mention.
Oh.
Let me know if you heard about this. Apparently, Lionsgate Television is already working on a TV series about this gambling scandal.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to watch it.
When big stories like this break and you're thinking maybe there's enough here for a mini series, you got to get started quick or somebody else is going to grab that opportunity first, right?
I bet there is enough for a mini series.
Yeah, probably. It seems like a pretty crazy story.
Yeah.
Was that it, Paul?
That's it.
All right. We got through our announcements. We got through some current events. We're looking forward to season 5, of course, as I mentioned. Working hard to get everything ready for that. Can't wait to be back in the swing of things. Again, if you'd like to vote on a topic for next season, there's still time to join the Patreon. There's a link in the show notes. And if you join, you get all that exclusive content that will tide you over until that new season starts. We're making sure, every couple weeks we get something new posted on there.
Mm-hmm.
You can also join us on Instagram, where we are at SJP Podcast. you could join the Discord. There's a link to that in the show notes as well. And I guess we don't have a first episode topic to announce, unless you want me to just pick one. One of the ones that I was going to insist on?
No, not yet.
Okay, okay.
So the next episode will be season 5, but the list will be released first on Patreon.
Paul's going to keep you in suspense. But yeah, join the Patreon. You'll be the first to know. Any last words, Paul?
Can't wait for season 5.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.